My mission is to empower every woman within the sound of my voice to not look at your past to determine who you are, but know who you are in Christ. And that is such a personal journey to really understand who you are in Him. And I have to admit, I certainly haven't gotten it perfect at all. I still fall down. But when we bring ourselves back to who we are in Christ and how He, I love the story, how He knitted us together. Yeah. In our mama's womb. I mean, it's just, you have to take off these layers of insecurity. We have to take off the junk that we dealt with in the past and the rejection and the abandonment and the abuse and the trauma and all of that. Because when we get rid of all that, that's who we are in Christ. Like this beautiful person that's made for a specific purpose. And when we live into that and fully embrace who we are in Him, that is when there is no ceiling. That is when the fear dissipates. And so that's what I teach my clients at every level.
This is Exploring the Marketplace Podcast. I'm Sean Bowles.
And I'm Bob Hassan. And together, we're inviting you into conversation about what God is doing with entrepreneurs, influencers, and everyday career fields.
Get a fresh perspective with our commentary and stay for the main chorus from our handpicked guests who are vulnerable, transparent, and sharing how their faith affects their career in powerful ways.
If a picture's worth a thousand words, then their life story's worth a thousand sermons. Here we go. Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. I'm Bob Hassan with my good friend, Sean Bowles. Sean, do we have anything interesting today?
You always ask that just to lead into this amazing conversation we get to have with others and also with each other. But today on the show, we're going to talk about how to change a business culture, which I know culture in employees and company is one of your favorite topics. But according to Jay Barney, if you want to change culture, you have to create new stories. We're going to talk about what that exactly means. And we're also going to have the talk about the concept about shifting culture in your current company, even if you're just an employee. Well, then we have Judy Weber, who's our main feature, who's a Christian business coach and strategist, who's going to tell us her story from going from a lawyer into helping coach people and bringing strategic help. And I think that's always fun to hear from the coaches because you always get so much. They teach it full time all the time. So there's things that they say that make me want to just become better at everything I do.
Yeah, I can't wait. Well, we have some listener feedback, and a listener wrote in, Drew4242, and they said, amazing. That's the second amazing we've had. Does anyone else cry almost every time they listen to one of these episodes? Oh, I love hearing other people's stories of how God is working and has worked in their lives. It makes my vision for who God is and what He wants to do in my life so much larger. Thanks, guys, for producing this. Thank you. Well, thank you, Drew, 4242. We love having that kind of impact. We love conversing with our listeners and viewers. And we have this new YouTube channel. Is it Exploring the Marketplace on YouTube?
It's Exploring the Marketplace with Sean and Bob.
Yeah, on YouTube. We're on Instagram, both Sean and I are. And then we have this podcast. And you can go to bowlesministries.com and ask us a question, or you can ask us a question in any other form, and we'd love to answer them. When's our next live that we're doing? Do you know?
I don't know, but we're going to do it soon. So make sure to stay tuned on our YouTube and Facebook for lives, which is good. All of our social medias that Bob and I have, we announce when it comes out. But we're going to do another one very soon here, and we're going to interact with people just like you. So thanks for leaving that amazing comment. I mean, that touches my heart. Well, today on the show, Bob, we're going to get right into it. We have a real talk for you and I to have, and it's many leaders are realizing the need to change their culture and their organization to save the business because there's a lot of business problems based on bad culture, but employees usually resist change and stick to past norms. This is the biggest problem. Jay Barney is a professor at the University of Utah's ECCLES School of Business, and he studied leaders who successfully led cultural change and found one thing in common. I love this. They created or create and spread stories. He said it's not about making up stories, but taking action. It's authentic and theatrical and memorable ways. So he's encouraging people to create that story, that's your company culture, to create those principles that you share as a company in the most theatrical and memorable ways possible, which I think Apple and Google do this a lot in their own teams. I've been behind the scenes and seen some of it, and even Apple doing it in their press releases and stuff. They're creating a story. You're not just buying a product. You're buying a story. The new stories that emanate throughout the workforce and rewrite the old narrative is the key. So I think this is really cool that was one thing he said, but I did want to bring up Eric Knapp, who, you know, he's one of our previous guests. So he's won in the city of San Francisco, the Company Culture Award from I don't know if it's Better Business Bureau, who it is, but it's like one of the major organizations. over and over and over because they have such a strong company culture. And again, it's not just that they do things together. They know who each other are. And they know who the company is.
I think it's amazing. And you know, Sean, you and I talk to business leaders from, you know, all over the world, and we hear the important part that culture plays. But I was thinking about my business. We're in our 46th year.
Yes.
And we have a story. Yeah. And I think that the story's out there, but, you know, over the decades, employees shift, and I have to be constantly willing to share the story. Some of the long-term employees, they roll their eyes like, I've heard this 50 times. But
it's like your kids, you know?
Yeah, but the newer employees, you can see the light go on. Oh, that's why we do business this way. Yeah. That's why we continue to be referred and recommended, because we care. And I think as an entrepreneur, finding what your story is and finding what your culture is that sets you apart is the most important thing. Because let's say you make widgets. Well, lots of people make widgets. What sets you apart? It's the culture. It's your service mentality. It's your ability to resolve problems quickly and ethically and honorably. And as your employees and your partners and even your customers begin to see what sets you apart is your culture, this is what moves people towards the next level in success, whatever that level is.
I totally agree. I think I'm watching it in media right now where they're doing this, where it's like you used to be able to watch a show like The Voice or American Idol or Survivor or whatever, a reality show, and just they throw up random contestants who you didn't know or have a connection to, and that was enough. And now we were watching American Idol the other night, which I didn't even know there was a season 20, whatever, you know. And my daughters love singing, so we were looking at it. And every single contestant that they showed, they told the story of. And then that told the story of the show, which is this person's probably not good enough to be a true American Idol yet. But with the help of these coaches and with their backstory, we're all going to watch them become something great. That's the story of the show. And it was so interesting because there's people who were too good and they didn't let them through. And there's people who are like just almost there. And they're like, but they had the story of coming out of abuse or coming out of racism or coming out of whatever it was. But I think biblically we have this foundation of storytelling. The Bible is a collection of stories. I mean, that's all it is. And so they inspire and they preach and they teach. And that's what we relate to. And, you know, religions, they impart the culture of the religion through story. And businesses do the same. So I think if a business leader is having a problem with their culture, they really do need to get some understanding about their story. And God has to be the center of that. And you can change people who don't want to be led differently. I mean, employees do resist change. But if you're leading, you could actually help lead in a way that actually they embrace the change when they understand the story, when they understand the why. Mm-hmm. I think that's huge. We include people instead of just informing them. Like if you give them the top 10 principles of your business, you're just informing them and they don't own it. But when you give them a story, it's their story too.
All right. And, you know, I think about, as we're talking about this, what we do on Exploring the Marketplace is we tell people's stories. And we want our listeners and viewers to fall in love with the person and then find out, oh, they wrote a book, or they have this business, or they're a coach, or they have these offerings of resources. And like, I would love to pursue that further because of the story.
Yeah. Well, I think of one of our past coaches, Michael McIntyre, who's, you know, has a web series now, and he coaches all kinds of people around the world. And I've met with people who he's coached who've been so encouraged by his role and his wife Stacy's role in their life. And just to tell me stories, the God story of what happened through that. And they didn't have an access in their local market to find a Christian person like Michael who would do that. But they were really attracted to him because of his story, not because of his success, but because of the story of what he had gone through in his own transformation. I think it really helped people. So, yeah, I agree with you. And there's people that we listen to and we start to admire what God's doing in their life. And that's the power of testimony. And when we understand the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, it means when you tell the story, it prophesies about what God's like. So in your company, or even if you're just an employee there, when you're telling the cultural reason why you want to have integrity, and you tell the story of this is what happened when I had integrity in a real way the first time that I committed to this, this is what happened. I think it changes everybody. It changes the culture around you.
Well, Sean, you pulled some amazing stuff about implementing culture change. We have like 5 steps. Why don't I talk about the first one and you talk about the second one and so on and see if it makes any sense. But Number one, in implementing culture change, live out your values. Demonstrate your Christian values through your actions. Show integrity, compassion, and servant leadership. And Colossians 3, 23 and 24 reminds us, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as of working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It's the Lord Christ you are serving. Isn't that, that's so beautiful to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the second one, and I agree with you, the second one is creating monuments or memorable moments. When you're a Christian, there was always monuments in the Old Testament of this is where the Lord defeated his enemies here. This is where, you know, the king had victory. This is where the people were rescued. And I think when we take those seasons of testimony to what's happening in our company or in our career, and we know how to tell how God's come through for us. And I went to this company, Bob, that I've loved, this man, Richard Chandler, who's a very wealthy man in the world. And he has a company, and they have a hall of memory that even they don't have a lot of Christian employees, but they have this hall of memory where you, when you walk through, they have all of the key times that they've had breakthrough as a company. And then there's a plaque that tells a story, and you can go through and just kind of have a meditation time and read the stories and think about what it means to work for the company. And I thought that was so profound that they actually do that. And our presidents do it in the White House. You see, if you go down the White House right now, whether you agree with Biden or not, you're going to see a list of his accomplishments in one of the halls of memory there. So it's very common that companies and people create these memorable moments. I think of Acts 20:35 says, "And everything I did, I showed you by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus when he said it's more blessed to receive." And it creates an attitude when you show where the Lord built those, you know, stones of remembrance, so to speak. It creates an attitude to give back.
Yeah, that's so good. I love how that's amazing. The hall of memories. Well, number three, communicate effectively. Clearly articulate the vision and values you want to embed in your company culture. And that, you know, that comes from a strategic plan, but, and it flows down. Proverbs 16:21 tells us the wise in heart are called discerning and gracious words promote instruction. Communicate effectively.
And the last two, I'm just going to go through them real fast because we're running out of time.
Yeah.
I'm going to get our guest on, but encourage and celebrate. So recognizing there's times and seasons of celebrating and encouraging those who are working with, and not just encouraging yourself through what you're doing in the business as a leader, or if you're an employee, just encouraging your role and just words of affirmation for yourself, but actually encouraging and celebrating all the accomplishments that are happening in a real way. And that's a really powerful one. And be patient and persistent. And culture change doesn't happen overnight. It requires patience and persistence. Don't become weary in doing good. Galatians 6:9 says, for at the proper time, you're going to reap a harvest.
Yeah.
And you have to hold on to that when you're going after cultural change.
Again, changing a company culture or an industry as a Christian isn't just about implementing new policies or procedures. It's about sharing your heart, embodying your values, letting people see who you are as a leader or as a part of a team. And I think you can inspire people by really communicating clearly and sharing your heart.
Absolutely. Well, we have a question of the week, Bob. This is a really good one. How do you handle moments when non-Christian workers openly curse or swear regularly using the name of Jesus Christ, like when it's part of what they do? Well, you're a good one to answer this because you work in the construction field, but this is a very real concern for a lot of Christians. It's not a concern for you and I, but I want to talk about why.
Well, I do work in the construction business, and it is a it is a highly charged. It's really hard. And this has been one of the things that I have had to battle with being on teams when I was younger and then the construction business when I was older, is it's just part of the construction culture that people cuss and scream and yell. And it's been a struggle for me to continue to remain humble and listen to what people are saying, not demean them. I remember, Sean, this question reminds me, when I was a kid, I was at a friend's house and we were making a sandwich and I dropped this giant glass jar of mustard and it broke on the floor, and I used the Lord's name in vain. But I didn't know who the Lord was. And my friend's mom said, "Don't use the Lord's name in vain." And I looked at her and I said, "What does that even mean?"
Yeah.
And she said, "You don't know who Jesus Christ is?" And I was like, "No.
I'm Jewish."
Yeah. And, you know, that's just what happens at my house, is I get yelled at that way. Yeah. And so she explained to me, and I, you know, I didn't get saved right then, but that became a vehicle for me to understand that, oh, Jesus Christ was the Lord. And, you know, later in my life, I found Jesus. So I, you know, I don't know what to do in the construction business when people use the Lord's name in vain. Generally, I try to stay on task with what the problem is, because yeah. I don't think in my role, it's my role to try to shame someone or change them. What do you think about
it? Back to company culture, though, like if you're the leader of a team or if you're a leader of the business, you could easily just say, hey, when it comes to religious references, like people's names in vain, someone else might really think that's really important. Like I do for Jesus Christ. And so
yeah.
if we don't make jokes about Muhammad or about other religions, Buddha, we're not going to compare ourselves in the wrong way that makes someone feel demeaned. And so please let's not use that. And you can set that as a company culture very easily, just like a dress code. But if it's someone who's you don't have the power to make a decision for someone else, I think it's not worth being uncomfortable with it, because to someone who doesn't know, even if they're a Christian, to somebody who doesn't know that that's offensive, it's not going to help them when you point it out. It's unless you have a real opening to their heart right then, it's actually going to bring shame and it's going to be like religious policing. So I think it's not really hurting you. It doesn't really do anything. I mean, your spirit might go, oh, I wish they would love Jesus like I do, but it's not taking away or diminishing your love for Jesus. So get over it. You know, like, let's just move on.
Yeah.
But I think every atmosphere you have control over, I would do something and advocate in a healthy way.
I think that's a great point. Cause in my company, you know, that would not happen because people respect, you know, the company and the culture, but I was talking about more out in the field when, you know, you're out in the field. So thank you for pointing that out.
Our guest today is Judy Weber. She's a lawyer, a business coach, and mentoring and scaling strategist. The thing is, though, she's been mandated from God to only work with Christian women, which when I read this, I was like, oh my gosh, I love all that she does. I'm going to pull these principles apart. This is good. She's on a mission to normalize miraculous results to Christian women in business. And her extensive corporate experience, where she's won trials in courtrooms as an attorney and led senior level management in the boardroom and C-suite executive, it's unparalleled in the business and coaching advisory marketplace. And I agree with that. I've never met a lawyer who understands a lot of the practicals and can break it down like what I've heard she can do based on this. She has a proprietary business growth and scaling models that's helped hundreds of service-based business owners build lucrative businesses. And I think that's just so cool. So she's going to be sharing her story today. And I think you're going to really get a lot out of this story.
I want to invite you to partner with us to spread the gospel around the world. And we're doing this through our TV shows and our podcasts, our social media. We're helping Christians navigate culture with a biblical worldview of what God's doing right now in society, news, entertainment, the church, through the Sean Bowles Show, which is our weekly commentary show on podcasts. We're building courage with our ministry audience for their calling and their careers for exploring the marketplace, which is a CBN news show and a podcast. And we're helping thousands to grow spiritually in their connection to Christ and training them to hear God's voice. And we're activating them in their gifts and helping them to have coaching tools for their inner development through Spiritual Growth Academy Online. On top of this, I get to minister around the world with Sound Biblical Truth on Prophetic Edge through YouTube all week long. And we have Sunday services even with YouTube. And we have weekly videos. And this doesn't even touch other social media that we do. I, of course, do a lot of ministry with TBN, and I host a lot of different media outside of what we're doing in our ministry. But we want to have you come help us. We want to invite you to help us expand our reach. And we are on testimony overload of the goodness of God, changing people's lives through the impact that we're having as a ministry. But we need you to help us create this media, this ministry. You can be a part of our team and our family. And we get to pray for you when you do this. We pray for our partners weekly. We get to resource you. We send you regular resources, both in the mail, but also online, because we want you to be equipped and reinforced. And we also have monthly partner meetings where you get to connect with me and our Bowles team online live, so you can feel the synergy of what God's doing and let it energize your life, as well as we get to pray for you live every month. And if you can't come live, you're still going to watch the video and get the prayer, because we take whatever God's doing in our ministry and we impart it to you so you can have the benefit. But become a partner today so our fruit becomes your fruit.
Welcome back, Sean. We're here with Judy Weber. Judy, we're so excited to have you.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Sean. It's an honor to be here.
I love interviewing other podcasters because you have a prolific podcast yourself for business people. but you're in touch with some things sometimes that other people are just sharing their story, but you're in touch with it in a way where when you share your story, you know exactly who you're talking to, which is super exciting. But can you take us back? Because I know you're helping people in all kinds of ways now, but take us back to where your journey with God and business started.
I feel like it started from the very beginning of my life. Really? Yeah. I mean, I remember when my mom introduced me to Jesus, it was a Sunday night. I vividly remember that. Like she said, you have a big brother named Jesus. And I remember like, wait, I had three other brothers. I'm like, where is he, mom? You know? And so I ever since then, I felt like I had a special connection with the Lord. And also my mom raised a women's advocate in me. She was always a fierce women's advocate. And so that's exactly what I'm doing now, working only with Christian women. And so I feel like we can talk through the bobs and the weaves of, you know, going from the daughter of a factory worker and a stay-at-home mom to a lawyer to a serial entrepreneur. But the Lord God was weaved throughout all of it. And even the bad, the negative was all the Lord, like taking me through what I needed to get through to bring me here today.
Wow. So he's like really the author of the whole thing, which is really beautiful to where you can go through. And when you tell your story, you just, he's the center of it. He's just all the way through. The through line is him, which I think is really helpful when people listen to your podcast probably and just really identify that for their own life. Cause not everybody has that through line or they don't see it that way. That's really profound.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so funny when people read my bios on these podcast interviews, it's almost like, who is that? You know, but, you know, people like me, I come from poor stock. People like me don't leave the town or the small town of Pennsylvania, let alone go to college, let alone go to law school, let alone think that I can lead a movement where we're normalizing miraculous results for Christian women in business. But when God calls you to something like he called Moses, you step up and say, okay, you promised to equip me.
Well, Judy, you mentioned your mom and who raised you to be a women's advocate. You mentioned the Lord about giving you all things, strength for all things, but tell us about you. Tell us what is it in you that gave you the ability to think that you could leave the town, to think that you could go to college, to law school, to think that you could lead a movement. I mean, tell us about you in there, because we know that Jesus did it. Yeah. We know that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of hard to really pinpoint that, right? I mean, before we hit the go button here, I told you that pursue the impossible is my life's mantra. Yeah. I didn't realize that as I was going through it. But as I retroed my life and looked at it and I said, oh my goodness, all I did was go for the impossible and achieve it. And so I really feel like that introduction to Jesus when that Sunday night was like, I was tuned into the Lord. And so I did go adrift sometimes, but I just always felt like, Mom, I even told her when I was a little girl, Mommy, God said I have something important to do. And one time I even said, hey, Mom, God said I might be a millionaire one day. And back then, when Mom and Dad were making like maybe $30,000 with Dad working like three jobs, it was like, they were like, yeah. They couldn't see it. And so the whole idea of college, and I remember my parents were like, Judy, I don't know. I know you're smart and I know you want to get there, but I don't know how you're gonna. And honest to God, I never worried about it. Like, I'm like, don't worry. It's fine. So when I say like who I am, I've always been the one who's been unconventional. I've always been the one who, when someone says you can't, I say, okay, watch me, you know, and that only could be from the Lord. It's only the way he designed and built me. I really can't like pinpoint it more than that. So it's kind
of the contrast. It sounds like your family who seem like amazing people, but the contrast of what they weren't going after versus what you were going after seems to be a bit like, you would know in yourself, like, this isn't normal. This isn't possible. Like, there is no millionaires in my family. There is no lawyers in my family. That'd be a big contrast to go after it and to have that faith to just go, okay, this is all about you, God. Like, that's pretty rare, but it's also hopefully not that rare. Hopefully it's becoming a more reality. I wanted to ask you to piggyback on what Bob was saying though. Like, you went from being a lawyer, like you accomplished that. And then you decided not to be a lawyer as a primary profession anymore. And you went into entrepreneurship. Not many people do that because that's a lot of training, a lot of time, a lot of like, what was that transition all about?
Well, let me tell you about that. Okay. So I left the practice of law after the birth of my third son. And after being home for 2 weeks, I called my mom crying and I said, how do you do this? This is harder than any case I've ever been on. I literally was crying. And she goes, what are you doing? What's the matter with you? And then within a couple of months of that, I just felt like the Lord, and there was a lot of guilt around this. I felt like the Lord had something more for me to do. but yet I felt compelled to do it. So I launched my first business as an interior decorator. And what's funny about this is I had zero formal training. I was HGTV trained, but I really felt like all the neighbors would come in and say, oh my goodness, how do you do this? Can you help me? And so I went for it. And just very briefly, how did I know what I'm doing? I didn't know anything, but I decided I'm going to go for it. And so I booked a booth at a local home show and I was very strategic. I'm a lawyer. So I teach my clients how to think strategically to win, just like I learned as a lawyer. And so I'm like, how can I not just be at a booth? How many times we've been in a booth and people are just sitting there like they look like they're looking at their watch, they're not paying attention. But I was very strategic to bring the right people in, give them an incentive for an appointment. Anyway, that weekend I left with 14 appointments.
Wow.
And within a week or two, I closed 10. So then I'm like, okay, I have 10 interior decorating clients. Oh my goodness, how am I going to get this done? But for anybody out there that has that, they're in corporate. It's like it's sucking the life out of you. I remember what that's like and how scary it is to jump. But if God is leading you there, just trust like Abraham. You don't have to know the way. Just trust the Lord and go.
So give us a variety of your businesses as a serial entrepreneur. That's the first part of the question. The second part is, what do you think your three strengths are?
That's so good. All right. The types of business. So interior decorating was the first one. Then I got my real estate license, did that for a time. Then I went back to the law for a time. And then I saw, what do they call it? Business development consultants coming in. And I thought, they're so stiff and they've never been lawyers. They don't know how to help us really do what we need to do. So I launched that business. Then I just kind of went back to the law full time. I was going through a divorce and ultimately got a great job in-house counsel. But then I decided to leave when my twin sister and I said, we had this dream to go into business together. And in that business, which was 2017, 2018, we worked only with women in real estate. She was a top team leader and I was an award-winning realtor, even if just part-time. And then in 2019, when that relationship broke up, thank God I thought it was going to be the relationship, but that business with my twin sister broke up. I sat the whole summer on the couch with my Bible and a notebook saying, Lord, what do you have for me? And he said very clearly, it's not just women in real estate. It's all women, but not all women. It's Christian women. And so that's what I've been doing since 2019. Now, my three strengths.
That's a big question.
My faith.
Yes.
I think even those that aren't blessed to know the Lord right now, success in business is a result of faith.
Yes.
For them, it's faith in their mission or whatever. But for us, it's faith in Christ. So that's huge. Number two, my decision making.
Mm-hmm.
I don't linger in things. I decide and go. And then the third thing is my boldness. Like I'm almost 60. And the older I get, the less things I'm afraid of. Or if I'm afraid, I just do it anyway. So
that's the reason I ask that in that order is because your businesses are seemingly unrelated. And you have this ability to say, oh, I'm going to do this. And I love the courage that you have to try new things. And thank you for those answers.
Mm-hmm. Well, based on those answers too, I wanted to take us back to a point in your life where you needed to rely on your faith so much because something wasn't working on a master level and like something was falling apart. Like talk about how faith has made such an important decision factor in a hardship that we all go through. Like you talked about a divorce. We all go through things, whether it's bankruptcy or whether it's, there's big battles people go through. And so talk about one of these things.
Well, let's talk about my days as a lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were things I worked for a very well-respected firm in Greater Philadelphia. And it was a blessing that I got that job. I went to Villanova, so it was good to kind of stay in the area. But there were things they wanted me to do that I refused to do.
Mm.
And, you know, stretch the truth, exaggerate timesheets. No, thank you. And the real problem came when 4 months in as a first-year lawyer, I was blessed with having a baby. I was blessed with being pregnant. And I was so afraid to announce it, but I had such horrible morning sickness at some point, I couldn't not say it, but I was blacklisted.
Wow.
I mean, people didn't want to touch me. What's interesting and sad, the women partners did not rally around me. Why? Because they didn't have they wouldn't even think of getting pregnant until they made partner. And the men were like, ooh, she's young and kind of cute. I don't want any like lawsuits or something. It was just very strange for me because I was there to work, you know. But if I may, can I share my best day in court?
Yes.
Because it was a Holy Spirit day. And I remember I was on the highest of highs. And very briefly, I was defending.
People need to hear a lawyer who had a good day in court. They need to hear that spiritual story right there. So yes.
Yes. And it's so funny. I'll try to make this succinct. I was defending my boss who had serious allegations, civil allegations charged against her, all of which were untrue. They said that she set up our client to disobey a court order, which never was the case. But in Philly, as in many cases, it's a plaintiff's bar, even in the bench, it's kind of swayed that way. And the issue that I was arguing a motion on behalf of my boss, and the issue was they wanted to circumvent a bank and say, look, we understand this matter is still pending, but we want to draw down on it and take her money. And so I will tell you, I prepared like never before to defend my boss. And there were two, real quick, there's two layers of argument. One, which is like, okay, the basics. But in talking with the Lord, I knew that if he said this one phrase, that I was going to go like off and it was going to be dramatic. And I was just going to be like throwing papers. I wish it was recorded. Anyway, he said the phrase that triggered this whole new level of argument. And I remember I opened my mouth. I was on autopilot because I had prepared like crazy just in case the Lord was going to take me there. I was very theatrical and I was deferential as much as I could to the court. But basically, I was calling her out for even allowing the litigation to go on because there was no legal basis for it. Wow. So the judge heard me out. The other side wanted to respond. And she said, no, we are done, with tears in her eyes. And she left. And anyway, the Spirit's presence was so palpable. I didn't want to leave. Other counsel kind of walked out with their tail between their legs. And the bailiff said, counselor, I have never been in a courtroom and heard an argument like that. That was so powerful. And I took it as an opportunity. I'm always the one that wants to talk to someone and scream the name of Christ in the most loving way. So I said, you know, that good judge, she thinks she rules in this courtroom, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ who does. Mm-hmm. At that, he smiled to me and said, yes, ma'am. And it was just so amazing. And can I just say that was the only motion that my boss won in that whole litigation out of dozens of motions. So it was totally a God thing. It was just the most beautiful thing to witness.
Well, so you had this like incredible time of like, there was moments where God showed up. And I love that for the lawyers listening, because we've had lawyers on before too. And a lot of times lawyers are liars in a lot of people's minds, or it's just like that manipulation thing. And I love when it's someone who stands up, who has that either in the background or they still are, just it's such a beautiful witness. But then you talk about like getting pregnant and how that was a liability in your career. And so like, just how did you overcome that? How did you come to a place where it's like, my faith made the difference, so it didn't matter what people thought?
Such freedom. Oh my goodness, such freedom. I remember I was in my office when the call came through from blood work that I was pregnant. She said, Judy, are you sitting down? I said, yes. And I was like, hopeful. And she said, you're pregnant. I screamed. And she goes, oh my gosh, I don't think I've ever had anybody that was so excited to hear that news. And so I hung up the phone and I pushed back from my office and I look around and I said, Lord God, thank you. This baby is all I care about. Wow. And it was just so easy. And I mean, it was hard for my husband because I was the main breadwinner. Can I say that? So that was a little bit difficult. But you know, the result speaks for itself. My three boys are men in their 20s and they all fiercely chase the Lord. Two are called in the ministry. Awesome. And that is my most, the thing of which I'm most proud, which I didn't even do it. I mean, the Lord God just allowed me to do it. I mean, I could tell you a story about when I came to know the importance of parenting, if you'd like me to quick say that, but I know.
Of course. Go. Yes. We'd love to hear that.
Okay. So, you know how you're raised in the church, but there's a point in time when Jesus becomes super real. And these Old Testament stories that you've heard 1,000 times, you're like, oh, that's how it affects me today. So I was sitting in Bible study and the verse of a woman by her own hand tears down her family or tears down her house or builds it up. The Lord met me in that moment. I bawled my eyes out. everybody in Bible study came around me. We prayed around me. And that is the beginning of when I said, you know what? I've got to take this true, right? I've got to take this at the word. And so I always told my boys, we should look different. We need to speak different. We need to look different. We need to be like Noah, where people look at him and say, what are they doing? How are they doing that? Why are they doing that? But yeah, I'm very sanctifying work is parenting. And it's interesting that entrepreneurship is also sanctifying work. It really brings out who you are, right? Yeah. Because we have challenges and we have to decide how we're going to meet them.
Well, Judy, let's transition and talk about what you're doing now, because you have a mandate from the Lord and you're so passionate about it. Let's talk about how the Lord brought you from your businesses that you started, from the law, from parenting until now, and what you're doing.
Mm. Yeah, it all comes together. You know, I'll never forget the time when I was working with a coach and she goes, Judy, what's your thing? And I didn't get it. But yeah. When I got it, it was obvious. Like I already said it, as a lawyer, I was taught to think strategically. And I was a straight A student, but I wasn't the one to like try to get the 100. I just wanted to eke in at the 90%. But the point of what I'm saying is that I've always been driven. And I've always loved women. And then all these experiences in my business and the people that I've met and the things I've gone through in the law come together to allow me to speak with authority on so many different levels. One thing I didn't mention is my first husband beat me up on my wedding night. Oh. So I totally understand women that have dealt with narcissistic partners and how to deal with all that. And so right now, my mission is to empower every woman within the sound of my voice to not look at your past to determine who you are, but know who you are in Christ. And that is such a personal journey to really understand who you are in him. And I have to admit, I certainly haven't gotten it perfect at all. I still fall down. But when we bring ourselves back to who we are in Christ and how he, I love the story, how he knitted us together in our mama's womb. I mean, it's just, you have to take off these layers of insecurity. We have to take off the junk that we dealt with in the past and the rejection and the abandonment and the abuse and the trauma and all of that, because when we get rid of all that, that's who we are in Christ. Like this beautiful person that's made for a specific purpose. And when we live into that and fully embrace who we are in him, that is when there is no ceiling. That is when the fear dissipates. And so that's what I teach my clients at every level.
I love that you basically just gave like a 2-minute version of what you give your clients. Talk about what's happened since you've started doing this with women. Talk about like their story, because you just shared a very traumatic experience. And yet this is where you are now because of God. So talk about for women who've come through this program, like tell some of the fun stories that like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the bolder I am in the way I speak about Jesus Christ and putting him not only as the center of your life, but the center of your business, that's when clients say, oh my gosh, I love your boldness. That's why I'm drawn to you. One of my more recent clients has such a beautiful Jesus transformation story. She was hooked on drugs. I think she was a prostitute for a time. She was really in a bad place. And then the Lord grabbed her. And she was kind of like begrudging before she actually like accepted who Jesus was and who she is in him. She's tearing it up. I mean, she's only been in the program for about a month and a half, but she has gotten such clarity and she's grown in her boldness. She's a brand new entrepreneur, but she's growing and she's putting herself out there. Like I see her stuff pop up on social and I'm like, wow, I want to be like that. Like she's really being bold. Another woman, you know, she had worked with an 8-figure business coach. And she had only made, she said, I hear this a lot. I love what I learned. It was very fun, but the results were $5,000 in 10 months. Then we come together and after less than 3 months, she launches and in a 2-week launch by God's grace, she generated 40,000. Wow. So again, it's like, stop doing it in your own power. Stop trying to worry about these gurus' strategies and tactics. The Lord has set apart exactly who you are to serve. And so we just need to do a lot more trusting and living our faith in our business than wringing our hands and feeling pressure. It's not supposed to be like that. One thing I'll say is I teach my clients to really operate supernaturally so that everything you do, say, and really think, you operate from a place of calm, confidence, and certainty. And it's a lot more joyful that way.
So talk to our listeners and viewers about first of all, how they can get a hold of you, and but some what some of your programs are that they might be introduced to and be able to get mentored or coached by you.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. Yes, I am on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook at Judy Weber Co. And I have two programs. I am into streamlining businesses. That's what I help my clients do, that they have a beautiful life. And so I work with earlier stage women, entrepreneurs that have not yet reached their first 100K in my Joyful Six Figures Accelerator. That is a 6-month container where I take them through curating an offer that practically sells itself. And then I help them with joy infused marketing. And then we do ethical selling. So that's my accelerator. And then for those that are already at six or multi-six looking to scale to 7 figures. That's called my Joyful Scaling Mastermind. And there we kick everything up a notch and we create higher ticket offers that allow you to really carve out your category of one in the marketplace with your, you know, I'm a lawyer, so I love IP. So we have to create your specific and unique concepts and your proprietary materials. So those are the two ways that I help people. But I also periodically put on a 5-day challenge, if you will. I call it Offer Week, so that you can create an irresistible offer that what I love to say is you create an offer that you fall in love with because you know how much it's going to help your clients to get the results they want. And I like to say it has layers of irresistibility in it. You know, there's lots of people out there saying, do this, do that. I keep everything simple. The two hallmarks of my business is simplicity and joy. So I would love to hear about that with anybody that might be interested.
And do you have a website address?
I am at judyweber.co. Leave the M off. Judyweber.co.
Love it so much, Judy. And I'm going to encourage everyone who's watching or listening, go to judyweber.co and sign up or listen to our podcast, which you can listen to each and every week. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you so much, Sean and Bob.
Well, that's the end of another Exploring the Marketplace podcast, where we bring everyday people who are seeing their faith affect their career in powerful ways. Make sure to hit like on this video, hit the subscribe button and notifications so you don't miss an episode. Also, I want to hear from you. So let's talk in the comment section. See you next time.